Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. As is our tradition here, would you read together with me the title of our message? A Family for Freddy. And again, I have no idea how Ewa was able to find a photo like that. You'll see how appropriate it is in just a moment. For our regular attenders, there's no sermon outline today in the handout because this is a story sermon. Based on Romans chapter 5, listen to these verses. For while we were yet helpless, at just the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. For one will hardly ever die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his love for us in this: while we were still helpless, Christ Jesus died for us. I want to talk to you today about unconditional love. A love with no strings attached. A love that keeps on loving no matter what. A love that never gives up on you. This is the kind of love that we all need today, tomorrow, each day of our lives. Derek and May, newly baptized. Susan, Ruth, May, Derek, and Anna, new church members. You preteens and your parents in family confirmation class, this is the kind of love that you need. Who, as the Romans 5 text has told us, has loved us and died for us while we were still helpless in our sin. Today's sermon will remind us of that love in a very special way. It's a story sermon. Though it's a true story, please take note, it's also a parable. A parable proclaiming the unconditional love of God for you and for me. Now listen to the story, but as you listen to the story, listen to God's message to you in the story. Again, our title, A Family for Freddy. I remember the first time I saw Freddy. He was standing in his playpen at the adoption agency. He had a toothy grin. What a beautiful little boy, I thought. The caseworker gathered him up into her arms, and then I saw it. Freddy had been born without any arms. He's so smart, she said. Can you believe it? He's only 10 months old. He already walks and can talk. She kissed him. Say, book, Freddy. But Freddy grinned at me and buried his face in the caseworker's shoulder. Now, Freddy, don't be that way, she said. He's really so friendly. Freddy is such a good boy. Freddy peeked up and said, good boy, good boy. The caseworker took out the latest copy of the hard-to-place list. It said this about Freddy. Freddy is a 10-month-old white Protestant boy of English and French background. He has brown eyes, curly brown hair. He was born without arms. But otherwise, he's in excellent health. We feel he shows signs of superior mentality. He's already walking and speaking. He's an affectionate child who has been surrendered by his natural mother, and he's ready for adoption. He's ready, I thought, but who could be ready for him? It was 10 o'clock on a lovely summer morning, and the agency of adoption was filled with couples having interviews, filling out papers, meeting children, families about to be born. These couples all have the same dream. They want a child as much like themselves as possible. And most important, they want a child without any medical problems. Who could blame them? But would there be a family for Freddy? Summer slipped into fall. Freddy was still at the agency at his first birthday. By now he was talking and singing. Freddy is so big. My name is Freddy. I'm so big. Who would want Freddie? God knew. They were Ed and Frances Pearson. He was 45, a truck driver. She was 41, a housewife. They live in a tiny white frame house on the edge of town, a big yard full of sun and old trees. They greeted me at the door, eager and scared. Mrs. Pearson brought some steaming coffee and some fresh-baked, oven-baked cookies. They sat before me on the couch, holding hands. Mrs. Pearson began, "Today is the day of our 18th wedding anniversary. 18 years. Good years," said Mr. Pearson to his wife. "Except." And she said, "Yes, always the except." She looked around at the immaculate room. "Our house is just too neat, you know. We need a child to make it messy." "Perhaps we're too old," she said. "We've waited so long. Examinations, tests, all kinds of things over and over, but nothing's happened. You keep hoping and you're praying, and yet the years pass." Mr. Pearson spoke up. "We tried to adopt before. They told us our apartment was too small, so we spent all we had and bought this little house. Then they told me I didn't make enough money as a truck driver." Mrs. Pearson chipped in, "Can we choose at all? A boy for my husband? My husband's very athletic. He played football and baseball in high school. Oh, he'd be good for a boy. Somebody to play catch with." Mr. Pearson spoke up. "Oh, I could sure teach him how to play catch. He can learn to drive my truck. And of course, we can't give him as much as other folks. We haven't got a lot of money saved. But we've got a lot of love," said Mrs. Pearson. "We've saved up a lot of love." "Well," I said cautiously, "there is a little boy. He's 13 months old." "Oh," said Mrs. Pearson, "what a beautiful age. I have a picture of him." Handed him Freddie's picture. "He's a wonderful little boy. But as you can see, he was born without arms." They studied the picture in silence. He looked at her. She looked at him. "What do you think, Fran?" "Kickball," said Mrs. Pearson. "He can play kickball. You could teach him kickball." "Sports aren't so important," said Mr. Pearson. "He can learn to use his head. Arms he can do without, but not a head. He can go to university. We'll save for it. We'll pay for it somehow. Meanwhile," said Mr. Pearson in his voice, "we'll play kickball." "A boy is a boy," said Mrs. Pearson. "He needs to play. And you can teach him." "I'll teach him, honey. Arms aren't everything. Maybe we can get him some. We can save up. Meanwhile, we'll play kickball." Maybe Mr. Pearson was right, I thought. Maybe sometime Freddie could be fitted with our artificial arms. He had little nubs where his arms should be. They could be attached there. Meanwhile, I thought kickball sounded great. "Then you'd like to see him?" I asked. They looked at each other. "See him? When could we have him?" I asked, "You think you might want him?" Mrs. Pearson spoke. "Might? Might? We want him," said Mr. Pearson. "Kickball." Mrs. Pearson glanced again at Freddie's picture. "Freddie, you've been waiting a long time for us, haven't you?" "Well," I said, "well, you know, as I said, his name is Freddie, but you can change it." "No," said Mr. Pearson. "Frederick Pearson sounds mighty good to me." And that was it. There were formalities, of course. By the time the big day arrived, it was almost Christmas. I met the Pearsons in the waiting room. "Your son is here," I said. "I've got butterflies," said Mrs. Pearson. "Suppose he doesn't like us?" I put my hand on her arm. I'll get him for you. Freddie had been dressed in a brand new white suit with a sprig of holly and red berries on his collar because it was Christmas time. His curly hair shone a mop of dark curls. Going home, sang Freddie, big boy, going home. I told him that, I said, today, Freddie, you're a big boy and you're going to your new home. I kissed him on the cheek and my eyes were wet. Goodbye, Freddie, be a good boy. Going home, he sang, Freddie's going home. Freddie stood uncertainly in front of the Pearsons, rocking back and forth on his feet. The Pearsons' eyes drank him in. Mr. Pearson knelt down on one knee and brought something into view. It was a brand new red rubber kickball. Come here, Freddie, said Mr. Pearson. Come to Daddy. Freddie looked back at me for just a moment, and then he ran to his near family. His daddy reached down with his strong truck-driving, kickball-playing arms and gathered him in. Freddie was in the arms of unconditional love. Listen to Romans 1. While we were still helpless, at the right time, Christ Jesus died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps for a good man someone would dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still helpless, Christ Jesus died for us. Unconditional love. God's love for you. In Jesus Christ, your Savior. A love with no strings attached. A love that keeps on loving you no matter what. A love that accepts you, forgives you, and is there for you for whatever path you have taken in your life. Whatever mistakes you have made. Whatever sins you have committed. A love that never gives up on you. Newly baptized. Newly confirmed, parents and teens beginning confirmation class, all of us here today, this is the kind of love you have from your Lord Jesus Christ, who died for you and rose again to forgive you and give you life everlasting. Like Freddie, you are a member of God's cherished family, the church, Trinity Lutheran Church. My friends, let's go play some kickball in the name of Jesus. And God's people said, Amen. Amen.